This is the morning sermon from Hillcrest Chapel in Portland, Oregon. Pastor Gary W. Custis is teaching through the book of Colossians. For more information on Hillcrest Chapel, please visit our website at www.hillcrestchapel.org.
The Bible is a book about man's relationship to God. And it includes all mankind. Every tribe, every tongue, every people, every nation. Every culture, every age, young and old, rich and poor, kings and slaves. And the Bible is a book that describes not only man's relationship to God, but also describes the believer's relationship to God. And this includes all believers. Believers living in the world, believers with reference to government and the workplace, believers in the church, believers in the home. Now, you might think that the Bible, this most important book, is designed to communicate grand truths only to young adults and adults. But the Bible is for children, too. The gospel message is for children. The specific commands are given to children. It's interesting when you observe Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry. He specifically blessed little children. Scripture reads, "Then they brought little children to him," speaking of Jesus, "that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased with them. 'Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter into it.' And so then Jesus took them up in his arms, and he laid his hands on them, and he blessed them." And clearly, the Lord Jesus Christ was not saying, you know, little children, they don't have anything to do with me. It's the young adults and the adults that I'm ministering to. No, he ministered to little children. And it's a privilege and a blessing for children to read and hear the Word of God. In earlier days of our nation, schools were set up to teach children to read so they could read the Bible. In fact, the reading lessons were based upon the Bible. And the Bible is for little children. We look at the Bible and we can always learn more about God. We can always learn more about the Bible. But the beginning of that instruction starts, or it should start, when we are little children. First, as little children, we observe others living the Christian life. And then we have, if we have Christian parents, we observe their lives. And then we hear the good news that Jesus saves us from our sins. And even as little children, we can trust God to save us in Christ. We know that we can't save ourselves. We know we are sinners. The Bible tells us only God can save us, and he saves us through the cross of Christ. And we know that we can trust Jesus to save us. And so we trust in him, and little children can understand. Little children can be saved. Little children can grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. So I would say to the little children who attend the chapel, when you come and you hear the preaching of that takes place here is for you. That's why I like the children to be here. That's why we don't, in addition to not having room, but we don't have a junior church. This is junior church. This is the church for you. And when you come, you should listen to the Word of God. And you should try to hear something that is for you and for your heart. I'm thankful that you're here. And can open the Word of God and say, this is for you to hear. And there's a passage specifically that we're going to look at that is designed for you as little children. And you can always know that the Bible tells children and tells little children what is very best for them. So let's look at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20. And here in this passage, we're looking at the preeminence or the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ and how Christ changes our lives. But our lives always focus upon Him. And the reason why the Apostle Paul wrote about the greatness of Christ, the preeminence of the Lord Jesus Christ, is because we never get away from that truth. The longer we live the Christian life, whether we begin as little children or however old we live, it's always focused upon Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the one who accomplishes the work of salvation for us. And He's the one who strengthens us to be obedient to Him. And He's the one who guides us with His Word. And so when in the Colossian church there were individuals and coming along and saying, well, there's other things that, other than Christ, that you need to be doing, the Apostle Paul says, well, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's Jesus Christ and what He did for you. It's Jesus Christ who is continuing to provide for you day by day. And so you need the Lord Jesus Christ. And then He tells you the things, because you're a Christian, the things that you are not to do and the things that you are to do, the things you are to put off and the things you are to put on. And it's interesting because He talks to children, and it's in the context of little children and even little children being Christians. Because if you're going to follow the commands of God, you have to do so by the strength that He provides. So when you get a command, even as a child, when you get a command and you're told what to do in Scripture, you're always to say, well, may the Lord Jesus Christ help me to be obedient. I need His help, and I need His strength and power. Because we all know what it is to receive a command and disobey the command. We need the Lord's help, and we need His salvation in particular, but we need His help always to be obedient to Him. But in the context of telling husbands and wives how they are to live in the home, the Bible tells you how you're to live in the home. And let me read this command. It says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Now again, when you look at this passage, it's always important to understand that authority is important with God. And everyone, whether you're talking about a wife or a husband or a child or a slave or a master, we're all under God's authority. In fact, we all live under authority. People like to think they're free and free from all authority and that freedom has no authority except the individual, but the Bible says everyone is always under the authority of God. So it's one of the changes you have in the way in which you look at life or your worldview when you become a Christian is you recognize, oh, there's God who is my authority. That's always true. It's true for little children. They're under God's authority. And then God also says there's other authorities as well that are under me and over you. And parents are in authority over their children. It's a God-given authority. And the husband is to exercise headship and leadership in the home. The wife is to submit to her own husband. And the child is to be submissive to father and mother. Now, it's good to look at this passage, and I'm going to sort of take it apart a little bit, but it's important to look at this. First thing I want to look at is this word, children. And the word child really speaks of one who is a son or daughter at any age. You say, well, I thought you were talking just the little children. I say, well, the word children means a son or daughter, a descendant, a child of any age. In fact, the same word is used when it talks about Christians, all of us, as the children of God. In Romans 8, in verse 16, it speaks of, and we are the children of God, and it uses the very same word there. So I can speak to you as little children, but you could look at me and say, well, I'm a child of God, and the same word is used. And so there's a sense in which this word child refers to the fact that you have a father or mother, and therefore you have this responsibility that that God has given you with reference to them. It's also interesting that when talking about children and the responsibilities of children and the commands of God, that look at Mark chapter 7 just for a moment. Because Jesus Christ rebuked Mark 7 and verse 9. He rebuked those who were being disobedient to the commands of Scripture, but he rebuked them as adults. It was sort of interesting to see. So all of you adults who thought you were off the hook this morning with this message about children, you're no longer off the hook. And Pharisees came and asking questions, and so the Lord responds to them in verse 9, and he said to them, all too well you reject the commandments of God that you may keep your tradition. For Moses said, honor your father and mother, and he who curses father and mother, let him be put to death. But you say, if a man says to his father and mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is Corban, that is dedicated to the temple, then you no longer let him do anything for his father or his mother, making the word of God of no effect through your tradition, which you have handed down, and not many other such things. He's saying, you have made an escape clause for honoring your father and mother. When they come and they say, no social security system, the social security system of the Bible in biblical times was your family. And the family cared for you. So when grandpa and grandma got old and they came to their children and said, we need help, the children could say, well, we'd really like to help you. But you see, everything that we have is given to God. And we really can't give it to you. And it's sort of a convenient way of saying, you're on your own, we're not going to take care of you, we're not going to honor you. And the question in this passage was about whether you obey the commands of God or whether you obey the traditions of men. That's a tradition. And it was a bad tradition. And the Lord rebuked him. But it's interesting, he is rebuking adults for not honoring their father and mother, and honoring them with providing for their needs. So they still follow under this, children, obey your parents, honor your father and your mother. It's always good when you look at a passage of Scripture to get the general meaning. Because every time I talk to somebody about this passage, when they ask questions, they want to know all the exceptions. But it's always good to get the general principle, because the general principle is stated very clearly here. Children, obey your parents in all things. And when I talk to students, particularly, they like to say things like, well, when we're 18, we're no longer children. And I always say, well, you need to find that in the Bible. I mean, under the law of our country, the laws say that when you are 18 years old, you are to be perceived as an adult. But when you come and we recognize that, and we as those who are under authority, we have the authority of government, have to recognize that truth, but just know that the Bible doesn't ever give an age. And in fact, when rebuking these individuals who say, well, we've given this to God, they were not those who were 18 years old. And also, individuals say, well, to put it in the words of young people that say to me, they say,
Well, my parents are stupid.
And I say, well, as a parent, I'm a part of that group. Raising kids is the most difficult thing, I think one of the most difficult things that we do as Christians. And it's rather interesting that you get more instruction sometimes with electronic devices than you ever get with a child that you bring home. Here's this child, he's been born, and you bring this child, and it's like, what do we do now? You know, where is the instruction booklet here on how we deal with this? And so from that point on, I can testify to inborn stupidity on my part. We're struggling to know how to deal with this. And we're not always wise. But oftentimes I find out that when young people, not young people here, but when I used to teach, they say, well, my parents are really too hard on me. They won't let me stay out all night long. And I said, well, you should be thankful. And they say, well, thankful for what? You should be thankful that I'm not your dad. Because it'd be a lot tighter than that, I can assure you. But, you know, this passage is a passage that's dealing with this principle, and it says, as children, your responsibility is to be obedient to your parents. And this is the broad principle. And you can look and say, well, my parents are not worthy of that, or we don't agree. And there's all different ways in which this plays out and works out in families. But the principle, the guiding principle, is that the children in the home and the children as they're growing up are to be obedient to their parents, and what is to characterize their life as young people and as Christians is that they obey and honor their folks. That's the biblical principle. And as children grow up and the adult relationship with adult children continues, then the relationship changes. But this guiding principle is there. And God says, your parents are always to be honored. And when you are children, and especially as younger ages, the characteristic of your relationship with them is to be obedience. And you say, well, what does it mean to be obedient? What does the word obey mean? Well, it means you hear and you do. And obedience is not just hearing only and not doing. But if someone says, oh, you obeyed me, that means you heard what I had to say and you carried it out to completion. You finished. And the responsibility of children in the home is to hear what their parents say and do what their parents say. And it's in all things. So again, it's this big picture. So little children don't have opportunity to say, well, you know, my parents don't know what they're talking about in this particular area. I seem to know more than they know, so I'm not going to do what they say. The parents are responsible to be wise, but they're also responsible to guide the children, and the children are to be obedient to their parents in all things. And again, people want to say, well, what happens when people step over the line? I say, well, we can address those issues, but it's good to see the broad biblical principles that are set forth. And whenever I think about this, I think of an account I heard of basic training. I've said this before, but it was interesting that soldiers, in the course of their basic training, the sergeant comes in at 3 o'clock in the morning. He said, everyone get up. So, of course, this is the sergeant, so everybody gets up. So I want you to take your rifles. I want you to bury them in the sand. Everybody gets up, they take the rifles, they bury them in the sand. Sergeant gets up, you know, 6 o'clock in the morning, same sergeant comes in, says, we're going to have a weapons inspection this morning, first thing. Get your weapon. They're like, it's buried in the sand. And so the sergeant goes wild, screaming and hollering at them for burying their weapons in the sand. What a stupid thing to do, that is. And they pull the weapons out of the sand, and he inspects them with sand all over them. So then he gets mad at them and disciplines all day long because their weapons were not clean. And you look at that and you say, well, these soldiers are going to be confused. And I say, well, yeah, that's sort of the point. The point is to teach them that they are to obey and to obey what they're commanded and not to think about it. And so they're told to do this. They are to do what they are told immediately. And the sergeant is teaching this whole principle because in the context of battle, the obedience of all and doing the same thing at the same time is extremely important. Their lives may depend upon it. So they are to obey what they're commanded to do. They are to get up and go when it's time to get up and go. And they're to do the things that they're to do. And if it doesn't make sense, they're not to worry about whether it makes sense. They're to do because obedience is hearing and doing. And that's sort of drummed in by the sergeant because a lot of young men get there and they don't know exactly what obedience is. But they learn obedience sort of the very hard way. But it's interesting that this whole principle with children and obedience in the Bible is a most important truth to God. And the reason I say that is because he included it in the Ten Commandments. And what's interesting about the Ten Commandments is there's really two tablets of stone. And the one tablet, the first five commandments, and this is, it deals with things pertaining to God. And the second deal with things pertaining to man. And if you look at the first one, it's you're not to have any other gods. That's the first commandment. No other gods. You're not to have any idols. That's the second command, no idols. And the third command is you're never to take the Lord's name in vain. Those all make sense with reference to God, and I always thought about that. The fourth one is harder because it's to keep the Sabbath, and then the fifth one is to honor the father and mother. And I look at that and I say, why is honoring your father and mother? I can see how the Sabbath pertains to God. But why is honoring your father and mother pertaining to God? That should be on the other side. So we try. Sometimes I try to squeeze that one over on the other side because I want it to pertain to the way in which we treat people, how you treat your father and mother. But it's clear from the statement of these commands that the training of obedience and learning to obey as a child is training because you're learning really to obey authority and ultimately you're under God's authority and you're learning how to obey Him. And God puts you into a home with imperfect parents who don't always know the right thing and don't always do the right thing. And you're under their authority and they are telling you what to do in order that you may learn to be obedient to God. Because growing up in the home is not releasing you to be free. It's releasing you to be under the authority of God. And that's why this issue of obedience is so important. And what's interesting about the Lord Jesus Christ when he came is that he was learning obedience, so to speak. If you look at Luke chapter 2, look at this passage as well. Because when you look at Jesus, he went through this process with reference to obedience. And in Luke chapter 2, in verses 51 and 52. It speaks of Jesus Christ. And it says, he went down with his parents. He went down and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. Jesus increased in wisdom, stature, and favor with God and men. Jesus Christ was obedient to them. He submitted to his earthly parents. This appears kind of interesting to me because I can think of Joseph in the as a carpenter saying to Jesus, Okay, this is the way I want you to do this, giving him a command. And in my strange way of thinking, I can think of Jesus saying to them, do you know how to command light out of darkness? Do you know how to put the stars in place? Why are you telling me what to do? Because you see, Jesus Christ did command light to come out of darkness, and he did command the stars to be in place. And yet he submitted to his earthly father and his mother. And he obeyed them. Now, I always think about this, and I wonder what it looked like as a child. I wonder what it looked like as a teenager. And I'm sorry, we'll find out when we get to heaven, but I would really like to look to know what Jesus as a teenager looked like. Don't really know what that would be like. Because a lot of times when you're a teenager, one of the questions that comes to mind when you're told to do something is this universal why question. Well, why? Why should we do this? And the answer is, because I said so. But that doesn't fly very well. But this why? But Jesus submitted to his earthly parents. And then you'll notice when Jesus Christ was on the cross, one of the important statements of Jesus Christ on the cross was caring for his mother. He looked at John and he said, behold, John, your mother, and Mary, this is your son. And he's providing for her as his mother, as an adult. Very interesting. And then when he speaks of his relationship with the Father, Jesus Christ in John chapter 8 says, I honor my Father. And a little later on in that passage, he said, it is my Father who honors me. So there's this relationship between Father and Son, and he goes on to point out that if you honor the Son, you honor the Father. If you honor the Father, you honor the Son. And there is this whole relationship that was most important with Jesus Christ. You know, one of the things that Jesus Christ understands is submission to authority. That's amazing when you think that he is God. He is the absolute authority. And yet he placed himself in a position of learning obedience. And again, this honoring as you, as children, grow up in the home, the directive of this and the point of this is to move from being obedient to your parents to moving to being obedient to the Lord. That's the goal. So that's why your parents are so interested in your obedience. It makes for peace in the home. But your parents are looking beyond that. And they're looking, well, if you're obedient in the home, then we want you to be obedient to the Lord. But that's not just something that happens if you obey your parents, you're going to obey the Lord. Because something else has to happen along the way. And that is you have to be saved. So you can't just learn how to be obedient to the Lord by learning how to be an obedient child. But as you learn obedience, as you are told what to do, and you do the things that you're told, then you're establishing what is the right thing to do. But in order to carry out that right thing, you have to have Christ in your heart. You have to be saved. You have to look at your heart and say, well, I find that when my parents tell me what to do, I don't always do that. I find that when the Bible tells me what to do, I don't always. I find I'm a sinner. I disobey God. And I need to be saved. A little child can understand that. I need to be forgiven. And so we come to the Lord Jesus Christ and we believe in Him. Jesus Christ died for our sins on the cross in order to secure our forgiveness. In order to save us from sin and save us from death. And so we ask and we say, dear Lord Jesus, save me. Please save me from my sins. I need to be saved. I see that I'm not doing the right things and I'm not living the way I should. And so, dear God, save me in Christ. And the Lord says he never turns anyone away that comes to him. Never turns them away. But then when we come to him and when Christ is in our hearts, then we obey because of Christ. And that's really what this passage is talking about. It's talking about the obedience based in putting off and putting on based upon what Christ has done. Because the passage doesn't say what attitude you're to have when you obey. Because you can obey with a bad attitude. Parents can say, well, I want you to go clean your room. You go, oh, okay, I'm going to go clean my room. I'm going to do this. And so you're grumbling and complaining. You go clean your room. And you do all that, and you look at that, and you say, well, was that the right attitude to have? And I say, well, no, that's not the right attitude to have. But the Bible doesn't talk about the attitude in this passage. It says your responsibility is to obey. But when Christ is in your heart, then that changes the attitude. It changes your heart. Changes the way you look at obeying. If you look at your own life and say, why am I always grumbling about complaining? Why is it that I don't want to be obedient? Why is it when my parents say, do this, I want to do that? I want to go the other direction. What is that? And that's your heart that needs to be saved. And that's one of the reasons why it's important for your parents to be directing your life, because they can help you to see the contrary, the sinfulness of our own and your own heart. Say, I need to be saved. I need to be saved because I'm not only supposed to be obedient to my parents, but I'm supposed to live in obedience to God. And that's far higher standard. And as the children of God, that's how your parents are living. They are to be obedient to God. They're to honor God. You say, well, where did they learn that? Well, hopefully they grew up, and sometimes it's true. Sometimes people become a Christian at an older age. But hopefully they learned that in the home, growing up. Taught to be obedient to parents, to be obedient to God. And that's really the structure that is given with reference to this command. It's the purpose of this command. That's why growing up in a Christian home is a great blessing. Because you have parents who are training you to live under their authority so as to live under the authority of God when you're saved. You can't live under the authority of God unless you're saved. Because that's when you're empowered by the Lord Jesus Christ to seek obedience to God. That's a change of heart that's required. So this passage is talking about obedience, and the kind of obedience is a continual obedience in all things. That's what it says. So I grab hold of this passage and I say, well, let's get the basic meaning of the text, what it's talking about. This is my responsibility as a child. And people come and say, well, when do I no longer have to obey my parents? When somebody asks me that question, I say, well, with that attitude, a little bit longer. But you demonstrate your growing out of that obedient child-parent relationship when you show yourself obedient to God. And it's like parents then have the wonderful opportunity of saying, well done. And I always tell children, you should never leave home. You should never, ever leave home when it's time to go out and live life apart from your family. But you should never leave home without your parents saying to you, well done. You've struggled in your life. You've gone through some difficulties. But we as your parents look at you and we say, well done. You've learned obedience. You've learned about the Lord Jesus Christ. Well done. We approve of you. And we feel like you're ready to go out and to live on more on your own in this world. Under God's authority, you've learned to be obedient to us. You've learned to see Christ. And now you've learned to live in obedience to him. And the relationship changes. All the relationships change. And the relationship between obeying and moving on to honoring, that's a wonderful change. It's honoring at all times, but moving from that
core principle of being obedient because your parents are there telling you to being on sort of the same relationship or this on a par with your parents. It's a wonderful transformation that takes place because of your assuming responsibility to honor God and to live under His authority. And it's a wonderful change to see. But notice when it says, when you obey your parents in all things, there's a promise that's given with this, or there's an assurance that's given with this. And it goes all the way back to the commandments in the Old Testament, because there was an assurance that was given with the Old Testament commands, especially with the honor your father and mother. But it says, you know, you're not to have any other gods, period. And you're not to have any idols, period. And you're not to take the Lord's name in vain. And when it talks about honoring your father and mother, when it speaks about this, it says, honor your father and mother. This is Exodus 20 and verse 12. This is the first statement of the law. That your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. See, obedience under the law required the obedience by all. And so they said to children, look to your parents and look to them for the guidance that they can give, because you're ultimately looking to being obedient to God, and you're to be obedient to honor your father and mother that your days may be prolonged. It's that important. It's an obedience to God matter. And in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16, where you have the second statement of the law, he says, honor your father and mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with you in the land which the Lord God gives you. It says that you may have you may prolong your life. That's an amazing statement. And there's one other thing you need to note about the books in the Bible, and one is that the book of Proverbs is a book that is specifically written to children and more. But look at Proverbs chapter 1. And it's interesting when you look at the opening part of this book, because it speaks, and it says, if you look at verses 7 and 8, this is the instruction that Solomon is giving to his family members. And he speaks specifically to his son. In verses 8 and 9 he says, my son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother. For they will be graceful ornaments about your neck, and chains, graceful ornaments on your head, and chains about your neck. It says, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the instruction of your mother. Hear those things. But look at as the book of Proverbs introduces itself. It says, what is the book of Proverbs written for? It says in verse 4, to give prudence to the simple, to give wisdom to the simple, to give the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning. A man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb, an enigma, and the words of the wise and the riddles. In other words, this is written to children. It's written also to adults. So an adult can read this, and a wise man will hear and increase learning, and a wise man of counsel will understand and attain wise counsel, a man of understanding will. So you look at this and you say, this is a wonderful book, but the book of Proverbs is a book specifically written to children. So that you'll look in here and say, I need skill for life. I need to know how to live my life. And so the Lord specifically had Solomon, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, give instruction to children that would pertain not only to young children, but also to wise individuals as far as gaining wisdom for life. There are a number of proverbs and sayings that says, here's a wise principle to live by. Here's another wise principle to live by. You need to understand this. You need to know this. Perhaps it'd be a good thing for parents to read Proverbs with their children together and explain the Word of God and explain the principles, because it's a book that's written specifically with children in mind. Because the biblical background of obedience and this blessing is that the children should be blessed. Here the promise is, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. And this well-pleasing means commendable. It means the well-done statement. It means a general satisfaction that is more than usual. And it's used with reference to God. In Scripture it is. Because it's one thing to leave home with your parents saying, or your parents saying to you, well done. But what this says is when you obey your parents, you have a God who says, well done. This is well-pleasing to the Lord in more than a usual way. It means that God is pleased with you. I say that's why you need to be a Christian in order to engage in this kind of obedience. But it's where God looks at your obedience to your parents and He says, well done. And that's what is needful. Obedience is the way of blessing. And you can look at this passage, and I hope children, as you look at your young life, you say, well, I need to be obedient to my parents. I need to be obedient to parents because I need to learn how to be obedient to God. And I need to be obedient to my parents because that's what pleases God. And I know that because that's what it says here in this passage. And it's true of all of us. As the children of God, we are to be obedient to God. And we are to honor Him. And that's the challenge that is set before us. And we're always under His authority. And God is our Heavenly Father. He uses that terminology. And we are the sons of God. And we are the children of God. The Bible uses that terminology. So learn to be a child in the home. And come to the salvation that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And learn to be a child of God. And as you learn to be a child in the home, by the grace of God, you will learn to be a child of God in life, which is what we need to be. And that requires obedience to Him. As Christians, we live under the authority of God. We live in obedience to Him. So this is a great encouragement. And children, you need to know that obeying your parents is not just a command of God, but it's a command with God saying, and when you do this, I'm well pleased with you. It's an amazing statement. But may God encourage us as the children of God, and may God encourage the little children to be obedient to the parents because it's well-pleasing before the Lord. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You that Your commands deal with all of us and that the Bible pertains to us as adults, it pertains to us as children. And we pray that You would give our young people wisdom to be obedient. But we pray also that You will give them grace to have a change of heart and be saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that You will guide us in living in obedience to You. We're thankful that You have placed us all under authority. And our responsibility is to obey and honor that authority. May Your blessing be upon us. May You strengthen us to live in a manner that's well-pleasing in Your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. In addition to our website, hillcrestchapel.org, you can also follow us on Facebook or Twitter under Hillcrest Chapel or subscribe to the podcast in iTunes.